Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our God and Father, we come unto thee in this morning hour in thankfulness and joy as thou hast blessed us with a new day, a bright and beautiful morning, to gather in thy house with joy and thankfulness for all that thou hast provided for us. Help us to be mindful, O Lord, of thy great blessings that thou hast shown unto us, the mercy and the compassion that thou dost show us each and every day, that we would return unto thee with thankful hearts, joyful hearts, appreciation, and trust in thee, the living God. And as we open thy word this morning, we would pray for thy blessing. We pray for thy Spirit's guidance and instruction for each of our hearts as we would come to thee with open hearts, prepared hearts, ready to receive thy word to thy honor and to thy glory. Lord, we pray that thy name would be magnified and that we would adore and admire thee and thy character as we come into thy presence with singing and with prayer and worship before thy holy throne. We pray that thou would bless this time to thy honor and to thy glory and to the growth of our faith and love in thee. These things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together and read from John chapter 16. Gospel of John chapter 16.
Brati našo da se čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu 16. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu 16. glava.
These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, because I will see you, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Blessed to be able to gather together, to open the Word, to take an hour of time in quietness to meditate, and to approach the Lord and ask for His blessings, ask for His presence, ask for His leading, and trust and believe that He can provide in abundance, even more than we ask or imagine, and how it must please His heart when we come before Him with faith, believing that the Word is powerful and is our spiritual food, and we have come to the Lord's table to read, to be filled and taught and instructed by Him alone. It is a blessing that we have to have this conversation preserved for us in these days before the crucifixion, when Christ would suffer such an awful treatment and give His life, that we have these special conversations between Him and the disciples as He would instruct them, as He would prepare them, as we are also in need of instruction and preparation. These words echo and they're preserved for us to learn and to receive from the Lord. Jesus speaks of joy in this chapter to His disciples before He would suffer. He speaks to them of joy. And we, as we consider the time of this conversation, it's difficult for us to imagine how this topic could come up at this time.
How can we speak of joy in the midst of such trial and pain? And it's difficult for us to understand, just as it was difficult for the disciples. And we misunderstand sometimes, just as the disciples did. And yet this is what Jesus wanted to speak to them. This is what Jesus had to share. And though it is difficult for us to make sense of, and we do not see how the events and the conversation can be reconciled, we must take it in faith. That in a time of pain, in a time of great difficulty, that there is a joy to be had. And we must seek it in faith, because it's not apparent to our physical senses or our intellect how this can be possible. The world, on the other hand, offers many pieces of information that are interesting, that are enlightening, that get us thinking, that we enjoy, that we like to spend our time reading or viewing. And that presents for us a challenge, because by nature, we are limited. We're limited by time. Each day is brief, and our lives are brief. We're limited by how much information we can bring in. And we can only take in so much. And so we have to pick and choose. Which things will we devote our heart and mind and life to? And that presents for us a dilemma. How do we choose? When we're so limited, when we can only take in so much, what do we choose to dwell on and to rest our minds in? There are so many things that can bring that immediate joy and pleasure and satisfaction that are presented to us. And yet, lives are lacking. We don't have the capacity to receive everything. And lives are lacking. And there's something missing. And there's something that all of the wealth of knowledge and interesting topics and interesting questions can never fill, even though there's such abundance. And we come to the Word. We come to the words of Jesus Christ. And He looks into our hearts, and He knows that we lack. And He knows where we lack in joy and peace. And He comes to us, and He speaks to us about where we lack and what we are missing. And he says to his disciples, "My joy can be in you." He sees where we lack in joy, in faith, in commitment, in obedience, in dedication, in love for him and for one another. He knows it. And he says, "My joy can be in you. I can be in you. Where we are lacking, where we have, when we recognize and see how short we come before the Lord, Jesus comes alongside and he offers us himself that he might live within us, that our minds and hearts would be filled with his presence and his word, so that he could fulfill that seeming contradiction, that environment of pain and suffering, and yet peace and joy that's abiding and present and real. And this is what he comes to offer us. We are instructed to receive. That's the blessing that we have. Jesus tells his disciples, "Ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy." We know that the rejoicing of the world and in the things of the world will come to nothing and will end. The sorrow that the believer and the one that is entrusting themselves into Jesus Christ is all too familiar with. The sorrow, the godly sorrow that brings forth repentance and a change of heart, the desire to be clean, to be pure by the Lord, that brings forth fruit of joy and peace with God. And there's an end to that sorrow, as it were. And the sorrow of this world, of the pain that we experience, for the believer, there's a hope that the things that we endure in this life that cause pain and grief are only temporary, and there is a greater joy that awaits in the presence of God, in worshiping him for eternity. And that sorrow that we experience shall be turned to joy. Jesus does not give a hope for the world while they're enjoying and rejoicing, but he gives the hope to the believer, to the one that is trusting God, the one that has committed their ways to the Lord, the one who gladly receives when Jesus offers himself, his character, his service. It says, "Embrace this. Take and eat, drink and partake of Jesus Christ." He offers us his joy. And we need his help, his conviction to choose the joy that he offers. Scriptures teach us of the joy of the Lord and contrast it to the joy of the world that is so temporary. Oftentimes, we are instructed to rejoice in the Lord. And that is contrasted to the rejoicing in strength of man, wisdom of men, pleasures that we can experience for a season. Though these things bring comfort,
at times, and we do enjoy many things in life. We have many blessings. These are not things to hang our hopes and our trust in, because they will end. But when it comes to our trust for eternity, and our trust and confidence and our faith, it must be in the Lord. We are instructed often to rejoice in the Lord. We also see in the scripture the joy in the Lord that is in one another. We read a few weeks ago of how Apostle Paul rejoiced in the Philippian believers, how they were and also we read of the Thessalonian believers how they were his joy and crown. There is a joy and a peace and a blessing as we look at one another and see that, as we would look at one another and see fruits of God's work in our lives, that would bring us joy to know that God is speaking to our hearts, is working in us. That brought Apostle Paul joy. Sometimes we miss that joy and we become very critical of one another. And we miss out on that joy that we should have, that the Lord is at work and the Lord is that his word is effective, and that as seeds are planted in hearts of people, that they do take root and they do grow. And that gives us hope and encouragement for ourselves where we lack. I was blessed to spend some time with some young people this week, and hearing a little bit about their understanding, I can tell that seeds are being sown in their lives. And there is if we would with wisdom approach the word and take to heart the joy that is to be had in the Lord and his work, there's a great harvest of joy that awaits. May God give us grace. May God give us his help and patience, that we would see how valuable and precious we are to the Lord and how much we should be to one another, the word instructs us. Not only Apostle Paul was persuaded and motivated by this joy that he had in the believers, but also Apostle John. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that is an exciting thing. To witness and to witness the growth of a believer in the Lord and walking in truth. It is a very simple thing that we can often take for granted. But these are the things that belong to us. Joy in the Lord and joy in his children who are walking in truth. Just last week we learned about covetousness and jealousy and the difference between the two. And that got me to thinking this week about covetousness. What are the things that are mine? And what are the things that are not mine? The Lord opens up his table for us to receive the things that are to be ours. The joy in the Lord, joy in one another, joy in walking in the truth. And by men's eyes, these seem like little things. But oh, how precious they are, how meaningful they are. And
the value, because we forget. The value of those things comes forth and shines forth so brightly when we are in the season of difficulty, when we do grieve. I believe we all know about the blessing of the community that we have when we share in one another's grief when we lose a loved one. And how much that means. And I'm encouraged as I read the scripture to think more about that. To think about how precious the truth of the word is, and that individuals would actually be willing to take it to heart and take it with the seriousness that it actually molds our lives and we pattern our lives after it. There is something so, so valuable in that the Lord would be merciful first to us to work in our midst, and that we would see and recognize it in one another and value it because it's a work of God. Not that I praise you for how good you are or anything like that, but I recognize where that comes from. It's very easy to convince you of the sorrows and the pain. You see it all too often. You see it all too clearly. Or to tell you how difficult or bad things are going. You hear it all the time. But where will we hang our faith? What will be those few things that we can place our mind upon and dwell upon in these short days and lives that we live? Jesus has given us something that we can have, that is ours, and that we should desire. Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount about a joy. A joy in suffering. This is something for us. This is something that can be ours. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus offers this on the table of the things that are ours, and it is greatly our tendency to push these things away, to not desire them and to seek for a way out or something to dilute the pain and the struggle. Jesus was offered something that was given to him or offered to him, something that would perhaps take away the pain of that crucifixion. And he didn't take it. He didn't drink that. He faced it head on. In the power of the Spirit, in the power of Jesus Christ, with him providing for our lack and our deficiency, which is everything, really. It's not a little bit of me and a little bit of him. In total surrender, may we take whatever cup the Lord has set on the table for us Embrace those times and say, with God's help, with the faith that I can place in one who lived it perfectly, I'll face it and I'll trust the Lord. And I will trust that He will turn that sorrow into joy. I don't know the sorrow that perhaps that you're thinking about, that is on your mind and that the Lord is bringing to your attention. But with God's help, with Him in us, that hope of glory, may the Lord work and turn that sorrow into a joy. Perhaps it's a sorrow that won't be cleared up or resolved as we would think of resolution in human terms on this side of the grave. But in perseverance, in faithfulness to the Lord, He will resolve all things. May we trust in His blessed hand.
Judas had left in front of a blazing light. He chose the night and he departed. And Jesus continued in the upper room and he spoke to his disciples. And this is coming to a close in this chapter here. For Judas left and he went to gather together those haters of truth. And Jesus could hear the footsteps of them coming together. They're coming after him now. And he's speaking to his disciples, telling them what is going to transpire. But he rebukes them in the previous chapter. He rebukes them, he tells them that you are to love one another. It's a rebuke because he had to command them to do that. There was, he rebukes us if he has to command us that we are to love one another. But he tells them that if you identify with me, if you identify with me, the world will hate you. And he tells them this, and it says sorrow filled their heart. And none of them asked him, he says, none of you are asking me, whither goest thou? Because sorrow filled your heart. All they thought about was themselves. Selfishness. What about me? It's continuing on. Even as they were earlier, so they're still continuing. They're thinking about themselves and not about what Christ is telling them. And so, of what's going to happen to him. And so Jesus goes on. This is love at work. Despite the fact that you don't care what's going to happen to me, despite the fact that you're only thinking about yourself, love is still, like Paul described it, love never faileth. He continues on because that's who he is. And he describes to them the comfort that they will receive. And after they hear these things, he tells them, the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Now they say, oh, now speakest thou plainly. Now we're sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And he says, do you now believe? Dear ones, everyone in this room will say, I know that you have come from God. I know you are the Son of God. And Jesus is saying, do you? Do you believe? Because he was going to show them that their failure was total. The rejection of him was complete. They deserted him. Yes, John recovered. Yes, Peter followed from afar off until he had to face his own Gethsemane when the cock crowed and he heard again the words that Jesus had told him. But their repentance was real. And their faith had saved them. And dear ones, it is our faith in Jesus Christ. This is what he says. When he says here, these things have I spoken unto you, that, what did he say? That in me you might have peace. This is the sphere of a believer. We are in Christ. And in Christ, We have peace. Our faith will not fail us. We will not deny Him. We will serve Him and love Him. May God help us to that end. Amen.